are on the line. Live on Fox Sports Central Alabama on 98.3 FM in Birmingham and Sylacauga. And in Auburn on ESPN 106.7 or online on FoxSports983.com and ESPNAU.com. You are on the line with Noah Gardner and Lance Daw. Join the show by calling in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7500.
You're on the line with Noah Gardner and Jacob Goins on ESPN 106.7 in Fox Sports Central Alabama. Happy Monday, everybody. The final day of January. Hope everybody is doing well out there. Hope everybody's staying safe and having a blessed start to their work week. Jacob, how you doing today, my man?
Doing good, man. We got a lot to talk about today.
That's right. A lot to talk about. Of course, Auburn. There's not a month without drama.
There's not a day without drama, it seems like, the last week or two around Auburn, or Auburn Athletics, and just Auburn in general, man. There's always something going on.
A lot of great stuff to talk about. As Jacob mentioned, Jeremy Law of Radio Alabama Sports will be joining us at 2:30, and Jacob Hillman, Auburn Jungle President and WEGL 91.1 FM Sports Director, he'll be joining us at 3:30. Those are our two guests for today, as well as we'll be talking about Auburn basketball, the happy things in life, takeaways from Auburn's 86-68 win over Oklahoma, as well as the SEC Big 12 Challenge. What did it do for the league? Because it was a dominant effort, 7-3 in the SEC Big 12 Challenge, different than what you and I thought it might have gone for the SEC. We thought it was going to be split. SEC ended up running away with it, thanks to some big wins by teams that we didn't expect to win, like Alabama.
Like Alabama, no doubt. But I
did say that was possible.
Yeah, I mean,
I said watch it happen, because they beat the good teams, lose to the bad ones.
Yeah, and that's the thing about that Alabama team. They're either going to lose in the round of 64, or they're going to make the Final Four. I'm legitimately believe it's one or the other with that team. But no, the SEC, man, they represented really well. Won that thing 7-3. We really did think it could be a 5-5 split or a 6-4 victory either way. But yeah, SEC with a 7-3 win in the SEC Big 12 Challenge, and they put themselves at the top of the pedestal in college basketball.
Of course, we also know who is playing in the Super Bowl now. The Cincinnati Bengals knocked off the Chiefs in the AFC Championship game in overtime. And the Los Angeles Rams mounted a comeback against the San Francisco 49ers in the fourth quarter, down 17-7 to win the NFC Championship. I've seen some people mention this on social media. This is probably the most likable quarterback matchup in the Super Bowl ever.
Well, you got to love it on both sides. For Matthew Stafford and the Rams, he played in Detroit for, what, 10 years and never made the playoffs once, and he goes to the Rams where he has some weapons around him, and he makes the Super Bowl. I mean, you got to love it for Matthew Stafford. And then, of course, Joe Shiesty, Joe Burrow. I mean, the dude's an animal. He's a winner. There's nothing else you can say. The dude is a winner. And I think the Bengals are America's team. Besides in California, I think 49 out of 50 states want the Cincinnati Bengals to win this thing. We're going to have a heck of a matchup, and hooday, baby.
Do you think Browns fans want the Bengals to win?
Okay, maybe not, but I mean, no, I guess not.
But they're pocketed up in Northeast Ohio, so I get that. The Bengals are the state of Ohio. That's their team.
Yes, so okay, maybe not the state of Pennsylvania. Maybe they don't want them to win either, or somewhere. But no, I mean, I think the majority of America wants to see the Bengals win rather than the Rams, but there's
no enemy.
I feel
for my guy, Matthew Stafford, because you braved the talent wasteland of Detroit for so long. He's got to win. Joe Burrow's going to have many more opportunities. There's no guarantee that Matthew Stafford makes it back.
No, I agree. And the Rams, they're all in this year, man. They put every single dollar and then some into this football team to win a Super Bowl. So if they don't win it this year, at least they made the Super Bowl. But if they don't win it this year, it's going to be bad, but at least they're there, so they got a shot. But there's no enemy this year. There's no Tom Brady that people just like to see lose because he's good, and there's no Patrick Mahomes who's just better than everybody else. There's no enemy this year. I think it's going to be a really good game, great Super Bowl matchup, and honestly, it could go either way.
Well, this is year 8 of some Madden simulation, right? We've made it into year 8 of the dynasty or the franchise mode, and now you're getting weird results like seeing the Bengals make a Super Bowl, which this is only the third time ever in their history, still 3 more times than my team. But, you know, in your team, how many Super Bowls have y'all won? You're a Packers fan.
Yeah, I mean, they've only won the one in my lifetime. I've seen them play in just the one. They've only played in the one, and they won it because Aaron Rodgers is 1-3 in NFC Championship games.
More than that.
Yeah, but not in my lifetime.
Oh, yeah.
Not in my lifetime. The Bengals have never been good in my lifetime. In 22 years, this is the first time the Bengals have ever been actually past the first round of the playoffs. So, and, you know, shout out to all my friends up in Ohio going to Cincinnati and everywhere else, man. Bengals fans, they're on a high right now, there's no doubt.
Of course, we can only stay away from the bad news for so long with Auburn. I promised everybody that we'd get to this. Reports started surfacing yesterday that Austin Davis would resign as Auburn's offensive coordinator. You make it to today, you wake up, you still see that those haven't gone away, and they are confirmed. Auburn released its statement earlier today that Auburn offensive coordinator Austin Davis has resigned as Auburn's offensive coordinator. A couple questions here about this. What is going on? What do we take from this? If you've got questions for us, feel free to hit us up, 334-321-1390. I'm going to open up the phone lines today for everybody to just tell us how you feel. What are your thoughts on it? Because I'm going to be real with you. I have no answer about this. I was asked earlier today what I thought about this. I was asked earlier today what's going on, and I don't think many people truly know, even the folks that are covering this team. I don't think anybody truly knows what's going on with this. It's still just... It's a stinky situation. It stinks for Auburn.
Yeah, and again, I mean, it doesn't look good, right? At first glance, this situation does not look good, losing two coordinators in the matter of a week. Three in an offseason, two within a week. And it on the outside, it doesn't look good when you're looking in. But I know we got a lot of people that listen out there. So give us your opinion, 334-321-1390, because we do. We want to hear what the fans think, what their opinion is of Austin Davis leaving for personal reasons, is what his statement was from the press release from Auburn today. And he said he's stepping away from football. He said he's going to go and spend time with his family. And it wasn't necessarily him leaving Auburn due to Auburn reasons. He said it was for personal reasons, but there's only so much that we know.
Which is very little. And we want to hear from you once again, as Jacob mentioned, the phone number, 334-321-1390. You can call in, or 888-382-7502. That is our toll-free number. We want to hear from you about this. I'm going to be real. I'm not going to argue with anybody out there. I'm not going to sit here and say you're wrong, because none of us know what's going on with the program right now. And I want to just hear how people feel. I want to gauge the pulse of the fan base right now and what people think, and I want to hear them vent out their frustrations about what's going on. So that's us putting out the number. You call in, we want to hear from you about it, but we will give some of our takes on this. I'll say this, and I knew this was going to happen as soon as we saw some of these reports last night. I knew this was going to be spun in a negative way, that it was somehow Auburn's fault, although it is my vibe that this has nothing to do with Auburn and more so to do with Austin Davis.
And again, like you said, we only know very little. And we know what Auburn has given us and what Austin Davis's quote has given us when he stepped down today. He was not fired. And it wasn't like he quit. He just kind of said, look, I'm going to step away because this isn't a right situation for me, maybe his family, or whatever. But I'm pretty sure I got a pretty good feeling about how Auburn fans are feeling right now, looking in, just because, yeah, it's scary when you see your head coach go through three coordinators in an offseason. And it doesn't speak very high on the program when you really look at it. If you look at it from an outsider perspective, you're like, wow, what the heck is going on at Auburn? And at the end of the day, people know my stance on it. Brian Harsin's got to have time. You got to give him time. It's only just the beginning of year two. He's had 1 year under his belt. And I understand that going through different coordinators rapidly is not what you want. It's not what you want to see. But at the end of the day, you got to give Brian Harsin time. And I would rather this play out like it did, Austin Davis only at Auburn for 64 days, 2 months, and him decide, okay, this is not going to work, and I can see that, rather than let's just try to work this out, play it through a season, and it be a disaster.
So I'll add to that, and I'll say, you have no choice but to give him time, right? Afford to let the coach go right now. And the reason why you can't do that is because there's no way that you can get another big-time coach or someone with a good pedigree to want to come to Auburn if your job security is determined within one or two seasons of you stepping on campus. And we'll add to that in just a few moments, but we're going to head to the phone lines now, 334-321-1390. Shadow is calling in. Shadow, how's it going, my man?
It's going really good. Let me share with you what your problem is. This man, as long as he is alive, he's just like many others on the football team that seem to disagree with a few people on the board of trustees. This is your problem. This has always been your problem at Auburn, is they continue to hire people who the board of trustees do not like. And meantime, you've got a coach over on our basketball team that is the man of Auburn University. And then you've got the school in Alabama who is number one and has been number one, who had the same problem as Auburn, and it is that so many chiefs are over there that can't nobody make a decision on football team.
So you're saying too many people are involved that shouldn't be?
Yeah, they ain't learned nothing. They ain't learned nothing on a football team. We still got how many people are there making decisions for the football team?
Too many. Too many more than the one that actually should be.
Yeah. And meantime, Bruce Pearl is where? He didn't have to. He didn't have to hire nobody like who was the first. First man that was fired by the coach this year was the exact man that was hired by the trustees.
You know, and I don't know if Brian Harsin's being forced to make hires or anything like that, but I get what you're saying. There probably are too many people, as the rumor has always been, or the stance has always been, there's probably too many people involved than there should be. And you look at the basketball program, I get what you're saying. Bruce Pearl is pretty much got free reign. They've given him everything he needs, and you can see what happens when you get out the way.
Well, you know, let me say this, and I'll hang up. You've had the same problem with the basketball team for years, and then it was fixed. Thank you very much.
Appreciate it, Shadow. That was Shadow calling in, 334-321-1390. Man, it's good to hear from Shadow. I haven't heard from Shadow in a while. Shadow, I hope you're doing well out there, my man. Appreciate you calling in. Would love to hear from you again sometime soon. 334-321-1390. Thoughts on what Shadow had to say, Jacob?
I mean, he makes a good point, and there's no doubt that over the years, the Board of Trustees at Auburn and donors at Auburn have had a hand and had a say in every decision that's made, especially in the football program. And
to be fair, it's like that at a lot of places.
It is, yeah, exactly. And there's a very few scenarios where the head coach has full free realm and has told the donors and the board, like, okay, you need to get out of the way and let me do my thing. One of those is Nick Saban at Alabama. He's had that opportunity to say, look, I need to do it this way. It's going to work. You just got to let me do it. Auburn has not been able to give that up yet. And it's hard to do, I'll admit. I mean, that's got to be hard for the board and for people that donate literally millions of dollars to this program to not have a say of where their money goes and what happens behind the scenes.
I also don't know if that's at play in this specific situation, though.
I agree.
Because once again, I go back to what I was talking about earlier is I knew that as soon as this news came out that this was going to be spun in a negative way, whether it be by the fan base on social media or by media personalities, that this was going to be spun in a negative way without full 100% knowledge of what truly is at play here for Austin Davis resigning. I knew that this was going to be the way that this was somehow Auburn's fault, which I don't think we truly know that, right? For whatever reason, all we know is Austin Davis has opted to resign, that he decided that Auburn was no longer the place for him, whether that was for personal reasons, what else someone can conjure up in their mind. What we got in our statement and what we know from what Auburn has given us is that it was for personal reasons, apparently. Now, hindsight's going to be 2020 in a month or two, right? Like when Derek Mason said that he was stepping away from football for a little bit and then ended up taking the Oklahoma State job, right? Nobody believed that for a second when he said that he was stepping away because you knew that he was in the running for the Oklahoma State job, right? So we're going to know more as time goes on, but I'm saying instantly right here, I just know a lot of people are going to jump to conclusions where they don't have enough evidentiary support and they need to pump the brakes a little bit, I think. And as you were alluding to that a few moments ago, talking about how you got to give him time, I'll add to that and say what I was saying just before Shadow called. You have to give him time. You don't have a choice. You can't fire the coach, because if you fire the coach, you're not going to be able to attract someone else. Like, say you wanted Mark Stoops to come from Kentucky. Somebody mentioned that a while back. I think Terry may have mentioned that a while back. And look, I like Mark Stoops. I think he would have been a great coach to come to Auburn. But the reality is, how are you going to pry someone away like a Mark Stoops from a Kentucky where they have the support of Kentucky and he gets a contract extension for a 7-win season and they're going to build him a statue? That's like Louisville saying Diego's Pearl last week. He's got job security. He's got support. Why would you go to a place where your job security can take a massive hit for failures after just one season? Which is what is happening here. Don't tell me that's not what's happening here. And I know you're not saying that. I'm just saying people out there, don't tell me that's not what's happening here. 1 year and he's already lost significant support inside the fan base just because of a 6-7 season. Yeah. And I'm with you. I think you have to let it ride. It's not just that Auburn fans should give him time. I think they have to.
You have to give him time. And when it comes to a head football coach at any major Division I program, especially a Power 5, especially in the SEC, you got to give him at least 3 years.
But that's also not me saying that this is going, that Auburn's going to avoid disaster.
And it may not. And this, I'll admit, I'll be the first one to say, initial thoughts, no, it does not look good. But we don't know. And all we know is that it's personal reasons, according to Austin Davis, that he stepped down. That's the biggest thing that we know so far. Let's head to the phone lines. Keith is on the line. Welcome in.
Hey, I can't believe that we're going back to the staff or the people at the college bullying Harson. I think if that was the case, Harson would already quit himself. He went out there to the West Coast and got this guy. I mean, I know he played at Southern Miss, but I think, you know, I have no idea really, but what I think is the problem is he's coming from the NFL, and with all this NIL stuff and all these transfer portal, I mean, it's nonstop recruiting. I mean, I'm recruiting weary myself. I want to see a roster and them go to work and be there for a while. Not to say that I don't want to get better players, but we had some highly rated players leave, and I don't know if they got here before NIL and just decided to try that market or what, but and as far as the defensive coordinator, Mason, I mean, yeah, he did okay. I mean, especially did good in that Alabama game. But, if he had played that kind of player, I believe we'd have won more games. And then, I think that the Bobo made some bad things happen. And, we got all these linemen and stuff coming back. I mean, they obviously want to be there. And, you got Kinker coming back. I mean, I don't know. I think people look into it too much. I think it's this NIL and continual recruiting is the problem.
Yeah, and that's something that has been floating around and we only know very little. He said he stepped away for personal reasons, but that very well could be a reason that he came from the NFL where you scout college players, but a lot of that's done on a higher level. Whereas if you're a college coach, right now you're on the road 5 and 6 days a week recruiting players constantly with house visits and practice, watching practice and talking to kids constantly. And that very well may have been a reason that Austin Davis didn't like his time as a college coach. He was only here for a couple months, but maybe he didn't like the recruiting aspect of it. Maybe he didn't like working with the guys on the team. And you just never really know. But I think a good sign, and we've mentioned it before, is the players coming back and buying into what Brian Harsin is selling. I think that's a better sign than an offensive coordinator coming in and stepping away after 2 months.
Yeah, I mean, if that's the way he feels, good. I mean, if he made a bad decision, go. I mean, we can get somebody else, and, they may get a hot hand that that may really work out. I don't know. Or maybe Harsin or the other coach take that job. But, you know, I think Harsin can be a successful coach in the SEC. But, you know, this portal thing is making it hard. I hate to see him not be successful and get fired or leave because he can't get good players at Auburn University or you know, get a complete team. And this portal thing has made it harder.
It has. You now have to recruit your own team, too. Keith, we appreciate the call, my man.
Yep. See you.
That was Keith on the line with us. Always enjoy talking to Keith. It's been a little bit since I've heard from him, too. 334-321-1390. Phone lines are open for folks today. Like I said when I opened up the show, I'm not going to argue with folks today about it. I have my feelings on it that regardless of how we feel about how things are going right now, and I've said this, you can't predict the future. I can't predict that everything's going to be okay. I can't tell folks that everything's going to be sunshine and rainbows at the end of the 2022 season. I also can't predict utter disaster, right? But we can look at what's going on right now. We can all agree this isn't fun. It's not great. And we want to hear from you about it, whatever your take is. We're taking the pulse of the Auburn fan base today about how they feel about the direction of the program after Austin Davis resigns as Auburn's offensive coordinator. The number to call, 334-321-1390 or toll-free at 888-382-7502. Let's take a quick break here. When we come back, we talk a little Auburn basketball, the good things inside Auburn Athletics, as well as we'll still be taking your calls once again about anything going on in the sports world. Stay tuned. You're listening to On the Line. Back on the Line, Noah Gardner and Jacob Goins with you on ESPN 106.7 in Fox Sports Central Alabama. Number to call, 334-321-1390. Our toll-free number, 888-382-7502. How you feeling today? Monday, you wake up, your offensive coordinator's gone. Sunday afternoon, you are hearing rumblings. How do you feel? What is your pulse on the fan base? We want to hear from you about it. Today is about venting. Today is about how you feel, not about me telling you how you should feel.
I agree, man. I want people to call in. We want to see how Auburn fans are feeling today after a week of losing two coordinators, one to another job and one stepping away from the game. We want to hear what you got to say. 334-321-1390. Call in. Give us your opinion.
And it's all show long as well, aside from when we have guests on. And Jeremy Law of Radio Alabama Sports will be coming up at 2:30. Looking forward to talking to him in just a few moments, getting his Alabama perspective on things. But anytime we don't have a guest on today, call us. Even if we're talking about basketball, we will revert back to football as well. And that's where we're going right now for just a moment. Auburn basketball against Oklahoma, 86-68. A brief takeaway before we head back to the phone lines.
It was a good win for Auburn. They started out a little slow, as they usually do. But, man, they were the better team, you could tell. They played a good game. Not great. Auburn has not played a good game yet. I'm telling you, they have not played a good 40 minutes of basketball yet. So it was a good win for Auburn. I said double digits. They won by double digits. So Auburn's got a big one coming up on Tuesday. Bama coming to town.
I think they've played good games. I don't know if they've played a complete game yet.
That's what I mean. Yeah, that's what I mean. And Auburn's played good, but they have not played a full 40 minutes. And when they do, they will not be stopped. They just won't. They will not be able to get beat. So let's head to the phone lines. Lance is on the line. Lance, welcome in.
Hey, guys. I just wanted to comment on the Austin Davis situation because I've been listening, and obviously a lot of people are upset. And I like the point that Noah made about the fact that, you know, we can't sit here and say that everything's going to be perfect at the end of next season, but we also can't say that everything's going to be a disaster. So, like, while things may look bad now, we don't know what they're going to look like a few months from now. And I will say, though, at the same time, like, losing Austin Davis sucks. Like, it is what it is. You lose your OC, you lose your DC, and now you've lost your second OC that you tried to hire. I mean, it just kind of feels like, I wouldn't necessarily say the program is in disarray, but, I mean, there are a lot of things going on right now that just kind of are trending negative. And so I just wanted to come in and say, as a fan, you know, while we may still be excited about basketball, and I see a lot of people on Twitter saying, like, yeah, don't come to me with all this negative football talk during basketball season. Look, this is a basketball school. This is a football university. A lot of people care about football, and I still think that while it is basketball season, we need to be talking about what's going on with Austin Davis. So I just wanted to chime in and say, like, I agreed with what Noah said, which is I don't think we can panic. But at the same time, it's not looking great right now.
It's not fun. It's not fun at all. Lance, we appreciate the call, my man. It's good to hear from you, bud.
Good to hear from y'all. I'll talk to you later.
War Eagle, man. That was Lance on the line with us. It's not fun. It's easy to say. I think both can be true. People are going to panic, and there are two sides to this. There are the sunshine pumpers that are going to say everything's okay, and then there are the people out there that are panicking and saying the world's going to end, and I don't think you can definitively say either right now. This is an interesting time. It's been a long time since Auburn has had back-to-back losing seasons. So if you want to play the historical trend card, you want to say, well, Auburn's always been okay. Auburn's always found a way to survive, right? It's been since like the Doug Barfield days since Auburn's had back-to-back losing seasons, maybe even beyond that. It's not been in my lifetime. I've never seen back-to-back losing seasons. And I said on this show a couple of weeks ago, I said Auburn's always found a way to survive. They have. Auburn has always found a way to be the cockroach in the nuclear apocalypse, all right? They have always found a way to live despite what's going on around them. 3-9 happens, they go to a national championship the next year. Auburn didn't even have back-to-back losing seasons when they went 3-9. So that's kind of partially where my optimism comes from, is that Auburn has not had back-to-back losing seasons in my lifetime. That doesn't mean it can't happen. It's hard to predict whether or not it's going to be disaster or it's going to be success for Auburn moving forward. But I can say this, it's not fun right now. If you're an Auburn fan, for it's not fun at the moment. And that is okay to say that. It's okay to say we don't know what's going to happen and that it could still work out. But it's also okay to say right now it is not.
It's not fun. And here's the problem is, yeah, Auburn hasn't had a back-to-back losing season in our lifetime, but now is the greatest time ever for that to be a possibility. Lost a state. Everybody knows what's going on there, and now walk across the state line, and it's going on over there too. It's on both sides. So now it's a bigger possibility than ever for Auburn to just crash and burn and just be suffering and miserable for the next 5 to 10 years. It's just scary to think about, but it can happen because right now on both sides of us, there's nothing slowing them down, maybe age, but nothing slowing them down, and Auburn's going to have to find a way to just make it happen like they normally do. And you were talking about the two different sides, either sunshine pumpers or the world is ending. And I'm right down the middle. And that's where I think Auburn fans have got to try and put themselves right now. Go down the middle and just say, look, we don't know until we know. We don't know until we see what's on the field. So try to go down the middle, Auburn fans. It's going to be all right.
We're going to take a quick break here. When we come back, we'll have Jeremy Law of Radio Alabama Sports with us. Going to get an Alabama perspective on things going on with the Crimson Tide as well as things going on with Auburn. We'll be back with more here on the show.
Stay on the line. More of the show when we come back.
Back on the line, Noah Gardner and Jacob Goins with you on ESPN 106.7 at Fox Sports Central. Happy Monday to everybody out there. Hope everyone is doing well and is having a blessed start to their work week. We've got Jeremy Law of Radio Alabama Sports with us on the line now. Jeremy, how's it going today, my man?
It's going well, Noah. Listen, I don't know what the holdup is for Brian Harsin. If he knew how good you were at calling plays on NCAA 14, it would be Noah Gardner, offensive coordinator, Auburn University. It's time to make the call.
And I would do it for a lot less than these chumps that he's hiring, and I wouldn't leave after 1 year. Man, you're
one
right.
1 year? You mean 2 months?
2 weeks. Jeremy, your take on the situation.
I don't know what's going on. I mean, I'm on the message boards like everybody else. I don't know if this is an indictment on Brian Harsin, but, man, this was not a position that you could get wrong. You just lost Derek Mason. You feel confident in Schmetting, but, man, you move on from Mike Bobo because you didn't like the offense. You hype everybody. You get everybody hyped up about Austin Davis, and the guy does what, like one recruiting weekend, and he's gone. So I don't know. Like, I still think Harsin needs his time, but, man, like, if you were 70-30 on Harsin going into this weekend, you come out of this weekend probably 50-50 or maybe even a little worse. I mean, I still like Brian Harsin. I think that this might just be a little bit too big of a jump from what he was having to deal with at Boise. Now you're dealing with NIL. You have to deal with Alabama and Georgia and now Texas A&M. Billy Napier's at Florida. The state of Florida is almost locked down. I don't know, man. It just feels like this was very shocking, very surprising. And he might go out and get a great offensive coordinator and set the world on fire. But, man, it's not looking pretty right now. But there is still time to recover.
So we got the news from Auburn today and the statement about what Austin Davis said when he left, that he's stepping away from football, personal reasons, family matters, etc. Do you 100% buy that based off of what you know? Obviously, there's a lot of speculation of what's going on. But do you buy that it's family and personal reasons and he's going to step away from football?
I'm not the guy to judge that. That's a statement he put out. I mean, the tape will tell me. How many times has Urban Meyer quit because of family reasons? He's been at four or five different stops since he left Florida. So,
right.
I mean, it might really be the real deal for him. But my question is, man, what did you think you were getting into? And you're coming in the SEC. Recruiting is as crazy as it's ever been. You're going
right.
to be the offensive coordinator at a historically top 20 program in college football, a program that has played for two national titles in the last 12 years. I mean, you should have known that this was what – not only that, as Harsin should have informed you that this is what it's going to be like. And it's not rainbows and butterflies in the SEC. This isn't the Pac-12. This isn't coaching at Texas Tech or something like that. This is the SEC, and you're in the state of Alabama. My question is, like, what did anybody think that he was getting into? And maybe it was a little too hot. I'll tell you this, the workload between what he would have been doing at Auburn versus in the NFL, it's not close. I mean, these guys, you do not have to work as hard in the NFL. It is nonstop. I mean, guys like Nick Saban and Kirby Smart get to the office at 5 a.m. every morning, and they get back home at 11 p.m. at the earliest. Nonstop helicopter trips, plane flights. I mean, it's all over the place. So I could see where somebody – who hadn't been in this role steps in and says, oh my goodness, I'm making probably roughly the same amount of money and I'm doing triple the work. This doesn't add up.
Jeremy, talking about Alabama now with you, signing day's right around the corner this week. What's your take on where Alabama stands right now and if there's any more fireworks for them over the next couple of days?
Yeah, listen, I'm not sure who they can land. I mean, dude, this class is phenomenal. Now I think almost all the recruiting services have, when you combine transfers and overall class, Alabama's the number one class in college football. Being able to land the guys that they landed in the portal was able to elevate them. And listen, they're just sitting behind Texas A&M with three less commits from a high school recruiting standpoint. So Alabama's class is stellar, even if they don't do anything coming up. You still got to be pretty amped up about it. But I'm telling you, this offensive line coach that they hired, he's a heck of a recruiter. T-Rob is going to be a heck of a recruiter, no matter who they get at an offensive coordinator standpoint, for when Bill O'Brien gets out of Tuscaloosa, which would be very pleasing to a lot of Alabama fans, would be a step up in the recruiting trail, especially if you do land a Tom Herman, which is the big name that's out there right now. So, you know, this class is locked up, but Alabama still has a very bright recruiting future when you throw all those names together going into the 2023 class. I mean, Alabama, you know, the coaching changes, a lot of people didn't know Doug Marrone was gone. I think Saban saw, and thankfully so, saw what a lot of Alabama fans saw down the stretch. They just weren't bad up front. They were very bad. Listen, they were 125th in the country in tackles for loss allowed. They gave up 7 tackles for loss a game, nearly 3 sacks per game. That's not acceptable at the University of Alabama. The rush offense, 74th in the country, not acceptable at the University of Alabama. And really, and Saban said it after the national title loss, if this wasn't for Bryce Young and Will Anderson, this team might have been 8-4 because of the product that Bill O'Brien and Doug Marrone put on the field with maybe the best group of talent that they will ever have. It wasn't pretty, and Saban's doing the right thing. He's making the right moves, and not only is he hiring – we're going to hire really good coaches in those positions. And the guy, Wolford from Kentucky, may have been the best offensive line coach in the league last year, moving over to Tuscaloosa and potentially adding a big name at OC. They're good coaches and they're good recruiters, so Alabama fans should be very happy.
You mentioned the transfer portal and what Alabama was able to do in this recruiting cycle. When it's all said and done after this football season, who do you think will be regarded as the most valuable transfer portal addition from this past cycle?
I think it's going to be Ricks, at least for Alabama's perspective. Now, what Ole Miss has done in the portal is pretty impressive. I mean, the portal is going to be a real thing for a lot of big-time programs. They're going to be living in the portal because teams like Ole Miss, and you may not have recruited great out of high school for these kids, but coaching changes lead to big-time quarterbacks coming to play for Lane Kiffin at Ole Miss. So the portal is big-time, but for Alabama, it's going to be Ricks. They need somebody back there at corner. They need a guy you can throw on an island. They didn't have it last year. They rolled into the national title game with both their starting corners out of the game, and it showed you why those guys were starters and the other guys were behind them in the fourth quarter. So I would go Ricks, Gibbs, then Burton. Alabama desperately needs some just pure experience at running back, because you never know what you're going to get from Jason Roydell. They're coming back from ACL injuries. The Gibbs guy's the real deal. So for Alabama, and don't get me wrong, Burton's going to be really good, but if there's ever a place that Alabama could maybe go without getting a transfer receiver or transfer this year would have been receiver the way that they've recruited the last few years. And there's another reason why Saban's making the moves that he is on offense. I mean, how can you watch the 2020 season with Alabama having 40 points midway through the third quarter in almost every game, and then watch Alabama struggle with Tennessee through 3.5 quarters this year, score 20 points at home versus LSU? I mean, Saban had to be pulling his hair out with just the blandness of the vanilla style of offense that they put out on the field this year, the grind it out, let's try to win it at the end style that it looked like Alabama's playing. And people would tell you, well, they scored 40 a game. Man, Alabama, they had the talent to score 40 through three quarters this year. They weren't able to get it done. So I really like all the moves.
We've been talking about Alabama football. Let's transition into Alabama basketball as they picked up a huge win at home at Coleman Coliseum on Saturday against the number four team in the country, the Baylor Bears. What's your reaction to Alabama winning that game from start to finish?
Just cancel the basketball season right now before tomorrow. Let Alabama go out with a top five win, end it, and Alabama fans will be happy. Now, listen, I think it's just showing you how fresh this Alabama team is. A lot of new faces, a few guys coming back, but they are playing like a team that's not just quite able to put it together. When you talk about the inconsistency on rebounding, shooting the three ball, they really didn't shoot the three ball great. They shot at 33%. I mean, that's not where Nate Oates wants to be. He wants to be at 37-40 from deep. So, but they outplayed Baylor. They were tougher than Baylor in the game, I thought. They played well on the boards. They out-rebounded Baylor. And I thought that Alabama, in these big spots, when they have something to play for and they give it 110%, which is still a coaching thing, I still think that falls on Nate Oates. When they give it 110%, they can beat everybody in the country, and you can't tell me that's not true, because I've seen it five times this year. They've beaten three of the final four teams from last year. All those teams are still pretty dang good. So if Alabama, I still think that when they get in the tournament, and they will be in the tournament, they're going to be one of the more dangerous teams in the tournament, but they could also easily get bounced out in the first round. I'm just saying, when teams see that they're going to play Alabama in the NCAA tournament, they fall in their bracket, they're going to say, we have to be ready for this team, because on any given day, any given night, this team can blow us out. So Alabama still, you can still be a little excited, but, man, you do not want to see them come out and get blown out by Auburn. They're not going to win at Auburn, I don't think. I think if they play great, they can keep it close. But you got to stop losing to Georgias and Missouris and Mississippi States and Davidsons and Ionas. I mean, if you think you take away some of those losses, Alabama's sitting here at 17-4, and they're probably top five in the country, especially when you consider the wins that they have. So if Nate Oates can just get his team to play with some consistent energy on a night-in and night-out basis, he has a top-10 team. The problem is they just haven't been able to do it.
You mentioned tomorrow's basketball game inside Auburn Arena. What's your take on it?
I would say I don't know if the line has come out yet. I haven't looked. I would put it at Auburn at -7.5, maybe -8. Listen, Auburn – I've told y'all this 3 or 4 weeks ago, they look like the best team in the country. Right now, they're number one. They are the best team in the country. But I think if Alabama comes out and plays well, and if Javon Quinterly can shoot 30% from three instead of his season average of like 17, they can win the game. But we haven't seen it yet. So I don't know what Alabama can do. They're going to get out-rebounded in this game. Auburn is more physical. They have more talent. J.D. Davison, probably an X factor for Alabama. If he can get the production against Auburn that he had in the final 10 minutes versus Baylor, Alabama will have a chance. But I just don't know how they can put together back-to-back emotional performances like that. And they had the home crowd. I mean, Alabama had 15,000 people in Coleman. It's probably the loudest that it's ever been in Coleman Coliseum. Now you're going on the other side of the state where Auburn's going to have roughly, what, 9-10 grand in Auburn Arena, and they're right on top of the floor, and they're screaming crazy loud. Probably the craziest environment they'll go to this year. I'm just not sure how they put together back-to-back performances and beat two top five teams in a row.
Jeremy, we appreciate you taking some time to speak with us today. I hope all is well, my man, and I hope you have a good rest of your week.
Thanks, guys. Noah, see you tomorrow.
See you, buddy. That was Jeremy Law of Radio Alabama Sports here with us on the show. Any takes there before we head out to break?
I mean, he makes good points, and Nate Oates has said it himself. Effort has been hard to come by for this Alabama basketball team, but when they can put it all together effort-wise and shooting the basketball, they can beat anybody in the country. They really can. Or maybe not anybody, but just about anybody in the country. You saw it on Saturday at home against Baylor. I don't think they come to Auburn Arena and win tomorrow. Even if they play really well, which I think they will, I don't think they're going to win in Auburn Arena. But he's 100% right, man. If you have to play Alabama in the NCAA tournament, you're scared, and I would be too.
Let's take a quick one back. We wrap up hour number one of On the Line. Wrapping up hour number one of the Monday edition of On the Line, Noah Gardner and Jacob Goins with you on the show. Big thank you there to Jeremy Law of Radio Alabama Sports for joining us in the previous segment. If you've missed any of today's show so far, it has blown by. Go and find the podcast wherever you get your podcast. Before we wrap up hour number one here, let's take a listen to what's on TV tonight. Hey everybody, it's Noah Gardner with What's On Tonight. Two new episodes of Keenan air on NBC starting at 7, and following again at 8, it's a new episode of That's My Jam. Some movie selections for tonight: Star Wars Return of the Jedi is on TNT at 5 p.m. The original Men in Black is on BBC at 6:30. At 6:45 on FX Movies, Leonardo DiCaprio won his first Oscar for this movie. The Revenant on FX at 7, and Spider-Man Homecoming and Lethal Weapon is on AMC at 7 as well. In live sports, let's take a look at tonight's college basketball schedule. In the 6 p.m. time slot, number 9 Duke is at Notre Dame on ESPN, and Iowa is at Penn State on Big Ten Network. Moving to the 8 p.m. time slot in the Big 12, West Virginia is at number 4 Baylor on ESPN, and TCU is at Oklahoma. One NBA game is on NBA TV with the Miami Heat at the Boston Celtics on at 6:30. I'm Noah Gardner, and that's what's on TV tonight. Back live on the Line, Noah Gardner and Jacob Goins with you. Wrapping up hour number one here. I want to remind everybody, phone lines are open again for the next three segments. If you want to call in, now's the time to do it. 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502. Call in. Look, I'm not going to argue with anybody today about Austin Davis, and I'm not going to argue with anybody about the direction of the Auburn program. I want to know how you feel.
And that's what we care about. We want to hear what Auburn fans are feeling when they started hearing the rumblings last night, when they saw the news today, and how they feel as the offseason rolls on, as we finish up recruiting for Auburn football. What do you guys think out there? How do you feel with Brian Harsin after year one and a shaky start to year two? We want to hear what you guys have to say from Auburn fans or fans outside of Auburn looking inside. That's also another interesting perspective.
Yeah, if you want to point and laugh, feel free.
Absolutely. We're here for it. We live here, so we understand. 334-321-1390. Call in on the line.
Depending on whatever we're talking about, we'll revert back to whatever you want to talk about as well. Once again, call in. We're going to wrap up hour number one here. We didn't talk about the basketball game too much, so for the next 5 minutes, we're going to talk a little Auburn basketball. Auburn beats Oklahoma 86-68. The lead dropped to as low as 3 points at one point in the second half. Auburn, though, holds on. You just knew a run was going to come at the end. You knew that Oklahoma wasn't going to take the lead in that game. You knew Auburn wasn't going to give it up. They just needed to hit that last run, and they did, and they ended up winning by 18. It's kind of crazy how this team, and Oklahoma's a good basketball team. Oklahoma could still make the NCAA tournament. It's a tough Big 12, so I doubt they will. I think they're probably more of an NIT team at best this year, but that is still a good basketball team. And if you beat anybody in the Big 12, no matter how you do it, whether Auburn won by single digits, whether Auburn won by 3, or whether Auburn won by 18, it was still a good win for Auburn on Saturday. That is a good and well-coached basketball team. Auburn, it's kind of crazy to think that you look up and you're like, wow, we're only up by 3, and then you look up 2 minutes later and you're up by 18. You're like, what happened?
Just too much talent on our team or on the team right now for Auburn. And like you said, you knew that Auburn had one more run in them. And sometimes that's what it takes, especially when you play a team like Oklahoma that you've never played before. Like, these guys have never played Oklahoma. It's a brand new style of offense and defense. It's a brand new style of basketball, because the Big 12 and the SEC are playing two different styles of basketball right now when you look at how much they play offense and the styles of defense that they play. And, yeah, I mean, you knew Auburn was going to come out and end up winning that game. It was a lot closer than what I would have liked to have seen in the second half, but the run at the end obviously went in by 18 points. But that wasn't an 18-point game. I mean, Auburn was in a battle late in the second half before they made a run, but nevertheless, it was one of the better wins of the day in the SEC besides a couple, obviously. But, no, good win for Auburn against Oklahoma, and nice warm-up for Tuesday night.
Continually, Auburn has this trend this year. We've talked about this, and this could prevent Auburn from winning a national championship. Now, I think Auburn is definitely and should be one of the favorites to win the title this year, and Auburn will be inside my top five teams right now, most likely to win the national championship. If you go back and you look at the last five champions, you look at all the qualities that they have, Auburn exhibits those qualities that are necessary to go through March and win a national championship. You just don't want lackadaisical finishes to games. You do it against the wrong opponent and they catch you at the wrong time, all of a sudden the season's over, right? And you didn't complete what you wanted to do, and now you lose Walker Kessler, you lose Jabari Smith, and this season is just a footnote in Auburn basketball history, right? And people don't want to realize that that's the truth, but it is. And that's why I think it's fair to talk about that aspect of this Auburn basketball team while also recognizing how great this team is and how fun it is to watch them, how talented they are, and that they are the best basketball team in Auburn basketball history. But it's also fair to point out that this team still has a lot of improving to do if they're going to win the national championship. That's why I'm kind of hard on them, because I know they're capable of winning the whole thing.
And we talked about this last week after Auburn had a shaky game against Missouri and even a game against Kentucky. We kept saying Auburn still has some work to do, and they do. And it's easy for us to sit in the studio and say, well, Auburn should do this better because, you know, they have better players than that. They should be better than they are right now. But they're still the number one team in the country.
I mean, they still played a good game on Saturday,
they did,
too.
They
never trailed against Oklahoma, which is impressive. At one point, the largest lead was 20. They shot 46% from the field, despite shooting 26% from three. Auburn continues to own teams inside the arc. They out-rebounded 29, only turned the ball over 10 times. They had 9 steals, had 6 blocks up and down the statue. They were 22 for 26 from the charity stripe. They didn't do anything wrong aside from one little bit of stretch of time where they allowed Oklahoma back in the basketball game, and then they closed it out. And that's going to happen. We're being kind of nitpicky, but once again, it's the little things that determine whether or not you win a national championship. But I don't want to just sit here and talk about negative things. Auburn played well on Saturday.
Auburn played well.
They beat a good basketball team, and they played well.
They played well, and they won the basketball game. And that's what we have seen has been a struggle in basketball, college basketball this season, getting big wins on rather at home or on the road. But these things that we talk about and that you said we nitpick, you're right. It's those little things that over time will add up and force habits. And in the NCAA tournament, that gets you beat. And in the tournament, you're one and done, man. If you lose a game, you go home. And this is not a team that needs to go home in the round of 32 or even the Sweet 16, because this team has a legitimate shot to win it all. If you look at the odds right now, they have the third best betting odds to win the national title behind Gonzaga and Kentucky right now. They're third in the country on betting odds to win the national title in front of Baylor and Duke. And there's legitimate reason for that. I mean, they have more skill and more talent than any other Auburn basketball team ever has. But the little things, they've got to get fixed before tournament play. I think they will, though.
I'm still not sure that Auburn's going to lose again.
Well, they will. It's okay, though.
That's it for hour number one of On the Line. We'll be back with more of hour number two coming up at 3 p.m. Stay tuned.
You are On the Line. Live on Fox Sports Central Alabama on 98.3 FM in Birmingham and Sylacauga, and in Auburn on ESPN 106.7, or online on FoxSports983.com and ESPNAU.com. You are On the Line with Noah Gardner and Lance Daw. Join the show by calling in at 334-321-1390. Or toll free at 888-382-7502.
Hour number two of On the Line. Noah Gardner and Jacob Goins with you on ESPN 106.7 at Fox Sports Central Alabama. Happy Monday, everybody. 1 hour in the books already. It has flown by. Phone lines are open. 334-321-1390. as well as toll-free at 888-382-7502. Phone lines are open for you to vent whatever's going on in your mind in the sports world, or if you want to celebrate Auburn's win over Oklahoma in the SEC Big 12 Challenge in college basketball, or if you want to talk about the Austin Davis news or anything else going on. We know who the Super Bowl teams are going to be this year, which is odd considering it's the Rams and the Bengals. We did not expect that.
Who day?
Is that just copying Who Dat? I've never heard of the Bengals chant.
No, it's like they've got a whole chant. It's like, I don't know. It's like Who Day, Who Day. Who do they think is going to beat them Bengals? Nobody or something like that.
That's what the Saints do.
That's their. I don't know. That's just what I do. I'm just relaying what I know. Man.
I know, but they copied them. They copied the Saints.
Well, guess what? The Bengals are in the Super Bowl, so the Saints can't say anything. They don't even have a quarterback, man.
Yep.
Or a head coach.
That is true. You got them. 334-321-1390 if you're a Saints fan. You want to be mad at Jacob about that.
Yeah.
He's not even a Bengals fan. He's a Packers fan, and you may not have a quarterback either.
Yeah, I can't say a whole lot.
Cell phone! Burn! Let's start off hour number two with making headlines. Making headlines. All right, at the top of the list, we've talked about this a little bit today, and this is what we've been asking for people to call about. We want to know how you feel about this. Reports were out yesterday that Austin Davis would be resigning as Auburn's offensive coordinator. Those were confirmed today as the university released the statement. Auburn now back out searching for an offensive coordinator about a month and a half after he was hired.
Yeah, and again, people call in 334-321-1390. I really do want to hear what Auburn fans are thinking as this news has broken today. But, I mean, look, at first glance, it's not good. I mean, it's not good to be looking for another offensive coordinator and a guy to walk away after less than 2 months on the job. But he said it was for personal reasons. I believe him. I think he just – I don't think he knew exactly what he was getting into coming to the college game, and that's okay. And I would rather him and Brian Harsin work it out and go ahead and say, look, let's end this right now so we can get on with our life and you can get on with yours, instead of trying to just force it to work throughout the season and it be a dumpster fire.
I also don't think that we know definitively – that this is Auburn's fault, even though it is being spun that way right now. I think this is just an unfortunate situation for a lot of different parties involved. And what's kind of being swept underneath the rug in all this is, this stinks for the players that committed to play for Austin Davis, namely the two quarterbacks that wanted to come and play for him, and Zach Calzada and then Robbie Ashford, right?
Right.
And I imagine looking at, and we haven't talked about this side of things, where does Auburn go now in terms of looking for a coordinator? Auburn wants a guy who can help develop these quarterbacks. That seemed like that was at the top of their priority list, or one of the things that was at the top of their priority list when they were first searching for an offensive coordinator, and they wanted Zach Hill out of Arizona State. That didn't work out, and then they went and got Austin Davis. And this coaching staff is going to make a hire, and they've proven this time and time again. They're going to make a hire that is off the beaten path a little bit. They're going to make a hire that's like, what? I don't know who it's going to be. I thought Eric Kiesaw was going to be a candidate, and he was a candidate the first go-round, I believe. I wouldn't be shocked if Eric Kiesaw ends up being the offensive coordinator. I wanted that the first go-around. Other names that were thrown out there in the first search, Damian Craig, Dale McGee. Some of these are long shots, just some names thrown out there. They're going to restart the search, though.
And I like that they're going for people that are not the obvious choice. You know what I'm saying? People that are not the normal guys that Auburn goes after. I liked the Austin Davis hire, but it just didn't work out. And, you know, sometimes it happens like that. But like I said, I would rather nip it right here and get it out of the way and try to find somebody else.
Let's head to the phone lines now, 334-321-1390. Ed is on the line with us. Ed, how's it going today?
I'm doing good, guys. I really appreciate y'all taking my call. And I just wanted to say, very proud of how, you know, the gymnastics and the men's basketball and, you know, the women's basketball. I don't know if I've talked to y'all since we beat Tennessee, but, I really think a lot of Johnny Harris, and I think, you know, she's kind of like, I think she's going to get things done at Auburn. But as far as football, and you know that I've, you know, been very, very patient, if you're not concerned, if you're an Auburn fan, if you're not concerned when you've had coaches leaving, you've had this many players leaving, you look at the defensive line coach leaving, the defensive coordinator leaving, almost all your defensive line you know, well, not almost all of them, but what was it? 7 or 8 players have left. And then I have no idea what is going on with this, you know, with Arthur Davidson. But Coach Harsin did a very poor job vetting this guy, or when he got there, Harsin said, can y'all explain to me exactly what your alert level is on what's going on with Auburn football? Because it seems to me it's kind of a cluster mess right now.
It's definitely, I like what you said, that it's reasonable to be concerned. Like, there's no way that you could look at everything going on right now and say, like, everything's okay, right? Like, I can't say that it's going to be okay, because you don't have an offensive line. You don't know who's playing quarterback. You haven't found any receivers. You don't even know who your offensive coordinator is. And the guy that you had on roster just left, right? So I'm with you, Ed. It's reasonable to be concerned.
Yeah, and, like I said, I just wonder if Harsin jumped into something a little bit bigger than what he realized. Yeah, I don't know, but you know, he realized exactly what he was getting into. Everybody's got good intentions, but nothing really seems to be going positive as far as Auburn football in the last several months. You know, other than, you know, 1 or 2 recruits for the vast majority, the past years, the football program has not had many, what would you call it, you know, promising moments, optimistic, you know, things that are happening.
Been a lot of losses and not a lot of wins.
Yeah, and that goes on the court, you know, on the field, but it also goes in recruiting. It also goes with coaching. I think we were turned down by a few coaches, you know, also. I don't know. I'm not calling in, you know, Billy Aiken too much, but I'm saying that I'm very concerned as an Auburn fan and Warrior guys. But I'm really proud of our girl gymnastics also. I think we got a really special thing there too.
We do, Ed. War Eagle to you too. Thanks for the call. That was Ed on the line with us. Appreciate the phone call, Ed. And now we're going to head back to the phone lines in just a moment. Go ahead and press the bottom button one more. Yep. The blinking button. Yeah, that one. There you go. Still teaching Trevor how to go through the phones. We appreciate it, my man. Let's head back to the phone lines again. 334-321-1390. Bill on the line with us. Bill, how's it going?
Good afternoon. I want to give a little input. What I think our head leader, our coach Harsin, needs to do is get out here publicly and talk to us. We look at Coach Pearl and how he's always telling you everything about our program. We don't know hardly anything from this guy. And we just left a coach that one of the reasons we were all upset with him was because he wouldn't communicate. I think that's a huge deal, and that's why everybody's so upset right now, because he's not saying anything. That's my view on it.
Yeah, and it's tough for him to come out and give us exactly what's going on, because I think everything has been changing so quickly. You see, in the last week, we've lost, you know, Auburn has lost 2 coordinators, the defensive coordinator and the offensive coordinator. And you don't want him to come out and just give a kind of a blank answer, because then that's just going to raise more questions. I think he's trying to figure it out, get it rolling. And then once he has some definite answers, yeah, I would like to see him step out and give Auburn some answers and give the Auburn fans some answers as well. You make a good point.
Yeah. Well, that was just the way I feel. I mean, I agree he has to be very careful on what he says at this point, because he really, you know, there's a lot of liability there too. So there's a lot of things going on, a lot of moving parts, but still I think he should definitely talk to his fan base, because I think that's what got Gus Malzahn, my opinion, his inability to communicate with the fan base.
Bill, we appreciate the call. Don't be a stranger, my man.
All right. Bye-bye.
That was Bill on the line with us here with us now. And now we're going to keep the phone lines rolling. Mark is with us now. Mark, what's up?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Doing real well. How are you?
I'm good. The one thing, I agree that it'd be nice if Harsin would come out and talk a little bit more with the public. But in my mind, he doesn't. I'd rather him build this program, and it's going to take something that Auburn fans do not have, two things, and that's faith and patience. Anytime a person comes in and takes over a new company, there are hard decisions that have to be made, and change is very hard. So, you know, I'm just blindly saying I'm going to be behind him, and I'm going to trust that in a couple of years we're going to be thankful that this is going to pay off. I just hope that, you know, there's rumors, I don't know this for a fact, of boosters that in the past have made their, you know, all of a sudden they're experts just because they put more money in the program. You know, I just hope people will stay out of the way, give this man time, and back the decisions that he makes. That's my two cents. Y'all have a great day.
You too, Mark. Appreciate the call. That was Mark on the line with us, 334-321-1390. We're toll free, 888-382-7502. A flurry of calls here to start off hour number two with making headlines. And the headline at the top of this hour is Austin Davis has resigned as Auburn's offensive coordinator. We want to know how you feel about it. A couple of calls there. Jacob, what were your takes from those?
Well, they were all legitimate concerns. We had people asking Harsin to come out and just address the team, almost like address the nation type thing, and just kind of give an insight of what's really going on inside the football program. And I like that idea, but I don't think right now is the best time because, I mean, from what we can see, it's kind of up in flames a little bit inside the program. And if Harsin comes out and just tries to tell him, like, well, this is what we're trying to do, this is what we're thinking, it's just going to raise a lot more questions than answers. And I think that time is coming, but I don't think it's right now. And then with Mark, our last caller, that's exactly my stance on it. Yeah, it may not look great, but we just got to trust Brian Harsin and that he's doing the right thing and trying to get Auburn back to where they can be and just give this man some credit, give him the benefit of the doubt, and ultimately give him some time.
With all three of those calls right there, it kind of ran the gamut of where I'm at right now. With Ed, I completely agree that it is reasonable to be concerned right now. There are a lot of signs, a lot of warning signs right now where you're looking, you're like, man, that's not good. It's not good to have lost three coordinators in an offseason. You lost three. It's not good. Likewise, I think there are some positive things that happened with the program, but there have been also a lot of negative things. You can't turn that down. Has Auburn gotten an offensive lineman in yet that makes you feel like this offensive line is going to be better next year?
No.
Has Auburn gotten in a receiver yet that makes you feel like this receiving core is going to be better next year?
Nope.
Has Auburn gotten in a quarterback that makes you feel like you're going to get significantly better quarterback play than you got this past year?
Not as of right now.
So with the offense looking the way that it does, it's reasonable to be concerned, especially considering you've lost two coordinators in one offseason on the offensive side of the football. It's reasonable to be concerned about next year. Likewise, though, the two callers after that, I do think it is very reasonable also to say, hey, let's be patient. Let's see how things go. Let's see how things unfold. Because as I said earlier, in my lifetime, I have not seen Auburn have back-to-back losing seasons. That is not something that has happened. Now, likewise, Auburn hasn't made a hire like this before either. Auburn's never hired a guy like Brian Harsin to come and coach at Auburn. So things are different, and this is uncharted territory. I had a good friend of my family this past weekend say to me, it was also first when Auburn only won three football games back in 2012, right? So anything can happen. What I'm just trying to tell people is this. I can't promise you that everything's going to be okay. There's definitely reason to be concerned. I also can't tell you that everything's going to be a disaster because there's still time to fix it. There's a lot of it's January. It's January 31st, 2022. There are many months in front of us before the start of the 2022 football season. I think this coaching staff is trying to get things organized and ready to go. They're trying to win, and I think they want to be here. I think they want to win. I think they want to succeed. I think they have a formula to succeed. They're just trying to get that installed at Auburn. And I think we have no choice but to, as Mark was putting it, you know, it's going to take patience and some faith. You're just going to have to buckle up because you can't make a move. I said that earlier in the show. How are you going to make a coaching change? You can't do that. You can't hit abort. You said you wanted this. I've said this a lot on this show over the last couple weeks. You said you wanted Gus Malzahn out. This was the roll of the dice. This experiment is just getting started. You got to wait for the results because it's too early. You can't kill it now.
You got to wait for the results. And that's part. It's like gambling. You are gambling right now with the program, with Brian Harsin, but you're exactly right. This is what Auburn fans wanted. They wanted Gus Malzahn out. They wanted the guaranteed 8-4 season out the door. They wanted a higher potential for their football program. But that comes with the risk of
It not being higher.
Of not being higher and having lower results in years 1, 2, possibly 3. But you've got to give
maybe
them
forever.
Yeah, I mean, maybe, if you really want to get doomsday about it. And that's the thing, man. You've got to give this guy time, give his program time, his coaches time to just do what they feel is right. And
or else you become Tennessee. And don't tell me it's not possible.
Oh, it's definitely possible.
Because Tennessee had a top 12, top 13 pedigree in college football, just like Auburn. And what has happened to them in the last 15 years is an atrocity for a program of that stature, right? And don't tell me it's not possible. It happened to them. It can happen to Auburn.
It can't happen to Auburn. I don't think it will. I really don't think it will.
Either, but it requires patience for it to not occur.
And here's the thing. I was trying to remember what I was trying to say, but I got it now. Here's what's happening at Auburn. It's a culture change and a complete culture shift. And what that needed to happen inside this Auburn football program, because for years it's been ran one way, no matter who's at the head. But now they've hired a guy from left field, from way out over there on the West Coast, to come in here and run this thing a different way.
Not even in the West Coast. It was in Idaho.
Idaho.
Of all places.
Yeah. He has connections on the West Coast, but you know what I'm saying. Yeah. Out in the West. Now he's coming in here to run this program differently than anybody's ever ran it before. And it's different. And Auburn fans may not like it right now. And maybe people inside the program don't like it. And maybe people that come to Auburn to work for Auburn and Brian Harsin don't like it. Maybe that's what we're seeing. But I think it's a good thing. I think Brian Harsin's doing the right thing. I'm behind him. I like what he's doing. I like how he's running it. And I'm going to give him time and give him the benefit of the doubt, because he's making a culture change, and it needed to happen at Auburn. So until he gives me major reasons on the field that we shouldn't trust him and believe in him, I'm going to be behind him.
Number to call, 334-321-1390, or toll-free line at 888-382-7502. How do you feel about Auburn football right now after the resignation of Auburn offensive coordinator Austin Davis? We'll keep going with making headlines on the other side of this break, talking some basketball as well as the NFL. Stay tuned. Back on the line, Noah Gardner and Jacob Goins with you on ESPN 106.7 at Fox Sports Central Alabama. Number to call, 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502. Still going along with making headlines. Auburn basketball beats Oklahoma by 18 points to advance to 20-1 overall. They're still the number one team this week. Actually added a few first-place votes.
Yeah, they did. They picked up some first-place votes and stayed the number one team in the country. I mean, they didn't do anything to lose that. So they haven't played great basketball, but they've been playing good. They got a big win against Oklahoma. They played Oklahoma's a good team. They got a good win by 18 points, and they got a big one coming up tomorrow night.
Explain to people what you mean by they're not playing great.
So there's no doubt that Auburn is one of, if not the best team in college basketball, okay? They're the number one team in the country. Their only loss is in double overtime to UConn back in November. And when I say that Auburn has not played a good 40 minutes yet, I'm not hating on them at all, because they're unbelievable. They're so good and so talented and so deep on the bench, but they haven't played a complete game yet. They've had every game, they've either had a slow start, blown a lead, poor shooting, turnovers. They've had something that has held them back from beating certain teams by literally 30 or 40 points. Because I feel like there are some teams, not every team obviously, but a Missouri or a Georgia, if Auburn plays a full 40 minutes of basketball, I truly believe they could beat a team like that by 40 points. And they just haven't had that yet. But what's going to happen is, I hope, is that Auburn will figure it out over the next month or two, month and a half.
Yeah, I mean, to be fair, it is January 31st.
Exactly.
I'm not disagreeing with you. I agree
exactly
with your statements, and 100%.
They're going to put it together, and by the time the SEC tournament and the NCAA tournament rolls around, they're going to play a complete 40 minutes where they come out and they beat the team from start to finish. They don't get down by double digits in the first 10 minutes. They don't blow a double-digit lead in the second half. They don't shoot less than 30% as a team and have to fight for a full 40 minutes. Because I think this team, when they put it all together like that, they will truly be unstoppable.
And the proof is in the fact that they're 20-1 and they have had all the slow starts. They have had the runs where they've blown leads and they still find ways to win. This team's that good. that they can still be 20-1 and not be at their full potential. But to be fair, nobody in college basketball is at their full potential right now. And there's only a couple of teams in the nation at this point that I think possess truly all the qualities necessary to win a national championship. Now, this year it seems to be more wide open than most. It doesn't seem to me – Auburn, look, nothing against Auburn. I still don't think Auburn's reached that level yet. But the fact that Auburn right now, and people don't hate me, don't call me Jesse Newell, let this out. Auburn's number 7 in KenPom rankings right now. And KenPom ranking, it's a tool, right? It's not a...
a legit tool.
Right, it is. College basketball coaches use it, right? They subscribe to it and they use it for their game plans and whatnot. It's a real tool, but it doesn't encompass all data points necessary to rank teams or to determine if a team is good enough to win a national championship. And Auburn, I believe, is among the 5 most likely teams to win the national championship this year. But when you look at college basketball's history of national champions and you compare Auburn to some of those clear-cut teams like a Baylor last year or a Gonzaga, like you knew those 2 teams were on a warpath last year. You know those 2 teams were going to play in the national championship. It felt like it. Other years, you've had some upset runs like a UConn or a Butler has gone all the way. You've gotten an 8 seed there that year that Kentucky made it. Like, those things happen. This year feels like that's more likely because the teams at the top are not as – There's no clear-cut runaway right now.
Not right now, but I think come March, Auburn can be that team separates themselves. And when the tournament and the bracket comes out and Auburn can be that top overall seed, everybody could say, well, it's Auburn and everybody else. They're not there yet. Nobody is yet.
No.
But I think Auburn can get to that point. That's how talented and good this team is. And as long as they continue to get better every game through the next month and a half and through the SEC tournament – yeah, there's no doubt in my mind that it can be Auburn and everybody else.
The only thing that concerns me about Auburn being able to win the national championship this year and what scares me a little bit about them and comparing it, and I did some research last night looking at the last 5 national champions, trying to find some similarities, some trends. What does it take to win a national championship in college basketball? And you can find some bullet points. Most of those teams that didn't turn the basketball hardly at all. Auburn, check. Auburn's one of the lowest turnovers per game in the country as a team this year, non-conference and conference play included, so that's a check. Something else, they all had it, guys. A lot of these teams sent 5 or 6 players to the NBA at some point, maybe not all that year, but at some point they had guys on that roster at that team that one day went to the NBA. Auburn's got 2 or 3. They've got the it guys, but they've got a future number 1 overall draft pick in my mind, so there's a check. They've got the it guys, right? I think Auburn's probably the best defensive team aside from one of those Villanova squads. I can't remember which year, but one of those Villanova squads was absolutely nasty defensively. I think it was back in like 2015.
The 2016 national championship team.
That's the one that I'm talking about. This Auburn team is in there with them. If this Auburn team won the national championship, I think Auburn would be the second best defensive team to have won the national championship in the last 6 national champions, right? The only thing that scares me a little bit about this Auburn team, a category that they do not have that I think you need to have, guard play is a consistent theme. All these teams have great guard play, and I think Auburn has great guard play, but I don't know if Auburn has the best guard play in the country. And at times, Auburn is not the most efficient team on offense. Auburn shot 45% this past weekend, which is fine, but they also shot 26% from 3, and they shot 23 threes. Auburn, compared to these other teams that were winning national championships, those teams were averaging over 80 points a game. Those teams were well above 50% inside the arc. They were shooting the 3-point shot at about 36%. This Auburn team's not quite in the same offensive category as those teams. That worries me a little bit, and I think that has a little bit to do with guard play. I think Auburn's guard play is great, but I don't think it's elite tier in college basketball yet either, and I still think there's some growth there for some of those guys. But also, this Auburn team has elite defense compared to some of those teams, and they have an elite front court that all of those other teams didn't have. But is that part of the recipe to win a national championship? Based on the last 5 to 6 years, it's not.
There's no doubt about it that the last 5 to 6 national champions in this era have had elite guard play.
Look at what Baylor did. Their top 5 scorers were all guards last year.
Their guards last year, man. They were unbelievable, and they carried them to a national title. And Auburn has great guards, KD Johnson, Wendell Green, and Zeb Jasper. All 3 of those guys are fantastic guards, either point guards or shooting guards, depending on what, you know, when they're on the floor. But there's times on the half-court offense that we've seen Auburn stall and it has to be a Wendell Green logo 3-point shot or a KD Johnson trying to run downhill and throw up a wild shot. Now, at times, yeah, they make those shots, but that's not efficient offense in the half court. And that's something we've seen Auburn teams struggle under Bruce Pearl is they run a specific set of offense and they run it constantly. And we've seen Auburn teams in the past struggle in the half-court offense. And when it comes down to the guards, yeah, you can have Wendell Green with a pick-and-roll lob to Walker Kessler, which I think we should do every time until they stop it.
Virtually unstoppable.
It's virtually unstoppable. And nobody's proven that they can stop it yet. But we've seen KD Johnson, Zeb Jasper, and Wendell at times struggle to get inside the arc and make something happen from within the paint. I like the offense of working from the inside out. What I mean is get the ball inside the paint and either go up for a layup, a dunk with Jabari or Walker, or if it's not there, kick out for a three or a kick and drive. And we see Auburn struggle with that at times. This season, I think it can get better, but the talent at point guard's not the problem. Their play is not to the elite status yet. And an 18-foot contested jumper from Jabari Smith, while he can make those shots, that's not what you're looking for in the national championship game when you need a bucket.
Once again, I like this Auburn team a lot, and I know you do too, and I think they are among the five most likely teams to win a national championship this year. I'm just not certain at this point that I'm ready to say Auburn is the front runner in my mind, but they're definitely amongst the group. They have all of the things necessary to win a national championship. I do believe that.
Yep.
It's just where are they at stacking up with Gonzaga and some of these other teams. We'll find out when the Battle Royale starts in March. Let's take a quick break here. We'll be back.
Stay on the line. More of the show when we come.
Back on the line, Noah Gardner and Jacob Goins with you on ESPN 106.7 at Fox Sports Central Alabama. Jacob Hillman, Auburn Jungle President at WGL 91.1 FM, Sports Director with us. What's up, my man?
Not much, man. Just getting ready for the week ahead of Auburn sports and especially tomorrow night.
Well, the news today, Auburn OC, Austin Davis out. Your takes?
Yeah, I mean, there's not much to take away. I mean, I think it's something personal. So, with Austin Davis going away, it is tough to deal with, especially with the timing of it. The signing day on Wednesday, obviously the less important signing day nowadays, which is kind of crazy. But, yeah, I wish nothing but the best, and hopefully Austin Davis is able to get back into coaching at some point.
Is it a sign for Auburn fans to be worried that Austin Davis stepped away, or should it just be the next one up that Auburn tries to hire an offensive coordinator?
Yeah, I think it's the latter, you know, just next man up whenever you find another guy that you like, because Austin Davis has never been an offensive coordinator. He's young. He doesn't have any college experience. So, you know, maybe he just didn't realize what he was necessarily getting himself into. He maybe thought it was less than what it is. And, you know, it could have just been the fact that he realized he's not ready to recruit. He's not ready to take his way into the SEC, and he wants to find a better place for himself. And we'll see what his next move is, if that's anytime soon. So, yeah, I think it's just next man up, and you just got to go out and find that. I think Eric Kesaw would be a good replacement at offensive coordinator, someone that Brian Harsin is familiar with, and he's been on the staff this year. So I wouldn't mind Kesaw at this point being elevated to offensive coordinator.
Well, you kind of dipped into my next question. There's no doubt that Auburn has had a track record under Brian Harsin to hire guys out of the woods, out of left field, whatever you want to call it. I was going to ask you what a couple of your candidates are for Auburn to go out and try to hire their new offensive coordinator.
Yeah, Kesaw is the one guy that comes to mind immediately. I can't really think where else you're going to look because we're so late in the game. But I'm sure there will be names that pop up. But I like Kesaw just because he's familiar with Coach Harsin. And also, it was already going to be a lot of influence from Coach Harsin this upcoming year. So I don't think it's a big problem or it's the worst thing in the world just to have a guy that's familiar with him being elevated where he kind of just coaches up positionally while Harsin on game days has a big focus on the offense. And then obviously he can do his head coaching thing as well. So I like Kesaw right now until I see another name that I think would be a better fit.
Speaking with Jacob Hillman, Auburn Jungle President and Weagle 91.1 FM Sports Director. Jacob, of course, this past weekend, great environment. I was in the house, as were you. I got to pick a bone. I got a bone to pick with you, though, man. I don't think bucket hats are a 1980s trend. I think that's a 1990s thing.
No, yeah, I mean, it's not really about the bucket hats. It's more about the design and things like that. Just it's a cool giveaway, but That was the point of it. Everyone was into it. Everyone loved them. I mean,
I love them. Do you have some?
People were trying to buy them on Twitter like crazy.
Yeah, I mean, I want some. Do you still have some?
Oh, no, no. Those things
Yeah, they went
off.
Gone, yeah.
They're gone. It's gone.
Yeah, I think that was more of a 1990s. I was researching at halftime. I was like, are bucket hats a 1980s thing? It's just, I know they became somewhat popular in the 80s, but I think it was more of a 1990s thing. But that's okay. Nonetheless, what was your takeaway on the environment and in Auburn's win over Oklahoma?
Yeah, the environment was great. I think that, obviously, it wasn't to the level of Kentucky, but that's going to happen. Kentucky was another animal, and I really think that it was one of those games where people didn't get to line up because it was like 20 degrees that morning, and I think everyone still showed up whenever they got in the building. They were ready to go and really brought the energy, and Oklahoma really just never was in the game until the middle part of the game, and right after halftime, they made a bit of a run, but Auburn pulled away towards the end. So as it comes down to the game, I'm Jabari Smith. Coming off a game against Missouri where it was probably the worst game of his college career, he plays one of the better games of his college careers with 23 points and 12 rebounds on 6 or 14 shooting. Obviously, Walker Kessler, just the front court was dominant. He went 9 for 11 from the field for 21 points, but he didn't grab his 10th rebound. He didn't get the double-double. I just really like what I saw from those guys. Katie Johnson brought the usual energy as well. And, you know, it's something to say when you have Devin Cambridge. He fills in for Flanagan. Didn't do what we know him to do. We 24 minutes from Flanagan, but he really didn't score the basketball. Devin Cambridge came off the bench, got 19 minutes, and he had two put back and ones, which was a huge thing. And guess what? He went 3 for 3 from the free throw line after Tuesday night against Missouri, missing two front end of 1 and 1. So, you know, I'm just seeing different guys step up when they need to, and really off the bench everywhere around. So it was a great performance from Auburn.
Well, I think the depth of this Auburn team is something that will carry them throughout the SEC tournament and through the NCAA tournament. There's no doubt that they have more depth than almost any team in the country. But now tomorrow night, 8 o'clock Central Time in Auburn, Alabama, there's a big game going down in Auburn Arena. What's your expectations for the jungle and for the game itself between Auburn and Alabama?
Well, it's going to be awesome. It's our whiteout game. And really, when you've won 17 games in a row, you're ranked number one. You know that the student section is going to bring it. You know that everyone in the arena against the biggest rival that you have is going to bring it as well. So I'm really excited for what's going to happen. It's going to be a lot of fun. People are going to be lined up early, and it's going to be a raucous environment from doors opening to whoever locks the door leaving the arena. And as far as the game goes, I think it's going to be a little bit different than what we saw in Tuscaloosa. You know, Jaden Shackelford, Javon Quinterly, they didn't shoot the ball well for Alabama. Walker Kessler played 12 minutes because he fouled out. I think that we're going to see those three guys play more to their potential, and I think that's going to be why it looks a little bit different. And for Auburn, I think the key is just going to be those guards like Zeb Jasper and KD Johnson playing defense well against Shackelford and Quinterly so they don't have a huge game, an explosive game like that, because we know what Walker Kessler and Jabari Smith can do down low. And we know that they're going to show up and they're going to play well, at least. So I'm looking at the guard play defensively being the key to the game.
Looking at the latest AP Top 25 poll, we'll look at the top 10 here. Auburn at number one stole some more votes, or really – now, I don't even like using the word stole there. I was just saying that. I mean, they earned it. It's theirs. If anything, they need more. 2, Gonzaga. 3, UCLA. 4, Purdue. 5, Kentucky. 6, Houston. 7, Arizona. 8, Baylor. 9, Duke. 10, Kansas. Takeaways in this top 10.
Yeah, I think it's Kentucky jumping up to number 5 after dominating Kansas. Kentucky came to Auburn, couldn't beat Auburn. Then go to Kansas, which is one of the other tougher places to play in the country, with Auburn Arena, with Cameron Indoor, and they beat them by 20. Now, obviously, different weeks, different games, that is what it is, but I think it says a lot about this Auburn team that they were able to beat Kentucky after being down at halftime, coming back and winning by 9 points, and then the very next week, Kentucky on the road again, and they dominate. And I really like that Auburn now has a top 5 win on its resume, and that's something that they're going to need. I think the receiving votes category is my takeaway for Auburn. There's so many teams that Auburn has beat right there in the receiving votes, right outside the top 25. Alabama, Murray State, Loyola, they're right up there. So, you know, that's one of my bigger takeaways, is that there's so many teams that Auburn's beat that's right on the cusp of being ranked.
Tomorrow at 8 o'clock Central Time, Auburn and Alabama basketball inside Auburn Arena. Hillman, you're the jungle president for the Auburn student section inside of Auburn Arena. What's the theme tomorrow night for the students showing up and getting in line early?
Yeah, wear white, and there will be some jungle T-shirts passed out for the game. So if you don't have white, just get close to it, and we'll have some shirts for you. But really what I would say is just bring the noise and be wild and go nuts, because, you know, there's always a talk about Auburn Arena and the jungle and the atmosphere and stuff, but you just got to show them what it's like. Show them who the loudest roar in the country is, and that's the jungle. So I know the students are going to bring it, and they're going to show up and show out.
Talking to you now about a little bit of baseball, we're speaking with Jacob Hillman, Auburn Jungle President at WGL 91.1 FM Sports Director. You're a baseball junkie. That people don't know, if they don't know that about you, well, they weren't here when you were interning with us, and you do that thing, man. You are there. You are one of the folks out there that are ragging the third baseman. You do all the research. You know your stuff. You're at every single baseball game you can go to. You're plugged in, too. You know your stuff. You have your connections. So I want to know what's going on with baseball.
Yeah, man. They had a good week of practice. I heard. I wasn't able to make it out to any practices last week. I plan on trying to do that this week and in the coming weeks. But what I saw from the updates is just a lot of runs. This offense is going to be, I don't know if it's going to be necessarily better, but they're going to put runs like they did in last year. And I think that's going to be due to guys like Blake Rambush, Sonny DeShara, Brooks Carlson, guys that all transferred in, newcomers. DeShara hit a grand slam last week. Carlson hit a home run. And I think Rambush is going to be one of the better leadoff hitters in the league this upcoming year. So those three guys are the critical newcomers on the offensive side. And we like Kaysen Howell, Brody Moore, Garrett Farquhar are going to do for themselves. Ryan Dial, he came along end of last year. They've all been performing well. But for me, it's going to be those newcomers and how they swing the bat. That's going to be the critical part for the offense. For the pitching, obviously, that's something that needs to improve, because we didn't see it last year. There's injuries that the Tigers dealt with, and this upcoming year it's going to be some guys that are not quite as experienced in a starting role that end up starting. So that's going to be, I think there's going to be growing pains there, but I do think that there's potential for the starting, right, the three starters to be a solid three, and they don't have to be. You're not going to have a Casey Mize or a Tanner Burns out there, but you're going to have guys that can go 5 to 6 innings, and you have guys come out of the bullpen and make sure they finish the job.
Before we let you get out of here, what is Auburn getting in Sonny DeShara?
Oh, power, and that's really it. And I really think that he's a good enough first baseman as well, where you don't have to use the designated hitter spot on him. He can go out there and play in the field, and I saw him like out a double last year. He had a triple earlier in the fall. I saw him hit a double against Auburn when he was at Stanford, but he's bigger, but he still has legs on him that he can use. So, but the power is just going to be something that people are going to be in awe at. Jaws will be dropped at Plainton Park when he hits his first home run as an Auburn Tiger.
Talking about the Super Bowl matchup, do you have any takes on what happened yesterday in the NFL?
I mean, I thought it was awesome. I think the NFL, they've been putting a good product out there where it's entertaining. Obviously, it didn't quite beat the divisional round. That was some of the best NFL football we've ever seen in our life. But it was still an exciting conference championship Sunday. You know, I'm happy for, but feel bad for CJ Uzomah. He goes down with the MCL injury, and he still earns that Super Bowl and the AFC championship. But I hate that he probably won't be able to play in 2 weeks at SoFi Stadium.
Jacob, we appreciate the time you've spent with us today. Tell everybody where they can keep up with you.
Yeah, follow me on Twitter at Jacob Hillman AU. Follow Jungle accounts, Weagle accounts, and all that on social to keep up with everything we're doing.
Jacob, I appreciate it, my man. I hope you have a good rest of your day.
Thanks so much, Noah. And Jacob, War Eagle.
That was Jacob Hillman, Auburn Jungle President. That's the Auburn Student Section and WGL 91.1 FM Sports Director. I'm excited for baseball season.
Me too, man. I really want to start getting out to more games. I've been to some here as a student, but I'm really excited for baseball and to softball games too. Those are two underrated sports to attend here at Auburn.
Yeah, I'm thrilled. I'm pumped for baseball season. It sounds like they've got the pop in their bats. Of course, they still need to get them across the plate, and that was what he meant. He was like, he said he didn't know if he necessarily believed that they were going to be better, but that's because average wasn't a problem last year. It wasn't home runs or anything like that. It was being able to have timely hitting and string runs together and actually get them across the plate. Pitching still going to be a concern. It was a concern last year. I think it even may be more dire this year, but you did have an offseason to try and work on it a bit. Auburn's going to have a chance. I think they're going to be better. I think this year the mark that you're trying to hit if you're Auburn baseball is you're trying to just make the postseason.
Make the postseason, and it'll be exciting to watch this Auburn baseball team for sure throughout the spring and the summer. So get out to watch Auburn baseball and Auburn softball too. Two exciting times.
Let's take a quick break here. When we come back, we'll finish up the show with what's on tonight and Final Take. Back on the line, Noah Gardner with you on ESPN 106.7 at Fox Sports Central Alabama. One more segment here in the Monday edition of the show. Let's take a listen to what's on TV tonight. Hey everybody, it's Noah Gardner with What's On Tonight. Two new episodes of Keenan air on NBC starting at 7, and following again at 8, it's a new episode of That's My Jam. Some movie selections for tonight: Star Wars Return of the Jedi is on TNT at 5 p.m. The original Men in Black is on BBC at 6:30. At 6:45 on FX Movies, Leonardo DiCaprio won his first Oscar for this movie. The Revenant on FX at 7, and Spider-Man Homecoming and Lethal Weapon is on AMC at 7 as well. In live sports, let's take a look at tonight's college basketball schedule. In the 6 p.m. time slot, number 9 Duke is at Notre Dame on ESPN, and Iowa is at Penn State on Big Ten Network. Moving to the 8 p.m. time slot in the Big 12, West Virginia is at number 4 Baylor on ESPN, and TCU is at Oklahoma on ESPN2. One NBA game is on NBA TV with the Miami Heat and the Boston Celtics on at 6:30. And that's what's on TV tonight. Wrapping up the Monday edition of the show, Noah Gardner and Jacob Goins with you back live on the Line. Before we get to Final Take in a few minutes, let's talk a little bit about the SEC Big 12 Challenge this past weekend. What did it do for the league to see the SEC dominate this thing?
Well, it put the SEC at the top of the college basketball landscape when it comes to conferences. I think coming in, the Big 12 and the SEC, minus the Big 10, are two of the best conferences in college basketball. And the SEC didn't just win. You could borderline say they dominated. They won 7-3, and that
they
was
weren't
without,
particularly close.
No, and that's without Tennessee winning, because Tennessee lost to Texas, and I did not see that happening. You made me pick a road team to win, and I picked Tennessee, and of course they lost. So
also TCU beat LSU.
Yes,
that was
they did.
Shocking. But all of these games, aside from that Tennessee Texas game, they were decided by about 9 points or more.
Yeah, and it really showed how good the SEC is. And records aside, there's some really, really good teams in the SEC, and I think this league is 7 or 8 teams deep. Now, here's the problem. I've said it before already on the show. I don't see the SEC getting that many teams in because they continually beat up on each other, and they beat each other because of how competitive the league is from top to bottom, minus, what, Vanderbilt and Georgia. And the league itself is good, but the bids in the NCAA tournament are not going to show it.
I think some teams helped their causes a little bit this past weekend. I think Arkansas is one of those teams, beating West Virginia 77-68. Don't look now, they're 16-5. This team may not be ranked, but they're playing very well right now. They never trailed in the game against West Virginia, and granted it was at home. They covered a 7.5-point line. They're packing out their home floor. That is a tough place to play at home. Once again, they're 16-5. This is a team that I think is going to be in the NCAA tournament when it's all said and done. Alabama helped their case out by beating Baylor. Alabama's going to make the NCAA tournament. I know they've got a really, really tough schedule from here out, and barring just utter disaster, Alabama's going to make the dance. They've got too many good wins.
But, so they have what, like 4 or 5 ranked games left on their schedule? What if they don't win any of those? Do they still make the tournament?
I'm beginning to believe like a 19-12 Alabama team gets in with their wins. Because last week we talked, what if they went 5-5 down the stretch here and finished 18-13, which now I don't think is going to happen. I think this team is good enough to win one of those trips with one of those games against Kentucky. Like, I just don't believe that this team is going to fail to win another ranked game. They get up for these games. They do. They've won too many ranked games this year. TCU, Tennessee, I mean, they beat ranked teams.
Yeah, and remember we said 3 games in a row, number 4 Baylor, number 1 Auburn, number 5 Kentucky. We said they had to win at least one of those games to stay competitive. They've already done that with 2 games to go in that stretch, and then they got to go to Kentucky and then on the road at LSU for another ranked game, which LSU still ranked, but they're the bottom team ranked. That's a winnable game for them, but it's the games that aren't ranked, the games against Vanderbilt and Mississippi State and Ole Miss. Those are the games that Alabama has to win if they want a shot at the NCAA tournament.
I think Florida helped their cause out a little bit, beating Oklahoma State 81-72. That got Florida to 13-8. They were falling towards the back of the plane on bubble charts and whatnot, right? that is a team that helped themselves out, but there's still a lot of work to do. I don't think Florida is going to make the NCAA tournament, but they did help their cause a bit. Kentucky may have helped their cause as far as getting a favorable seed line and jumping themselves up to being in the running for a one seed, maybe even at the end of the year if they keep winning. Kentucky, I mean, look, I mean, if they went out and they only lose one more game, they're a five-loss team, they're going to be in the running for a one seed at the end of the year.
And they're probably going to be in the SEC championship game playing Auburn would be the easy prediction. And yeah, I mean,
it would be chalk.
Yeah. And the Kentucky can have a one seed is very, very possible. And never, like, nonetheless, a two seed at best or at worst.
Tennessee didn't make themselves look very good, and neither did Mississippi State. But the game, here's the last thing that I want to mention here before we get to final take. South Carolina beat Texas A&M by 11 on the road.
That's big.
That kind of flew under the radar this past weekend because it wasn't an SEC Big 12 challenge. But Texas A&M is on a bit of a slide right now. After starting out the way that they did, 15-2, they've now lost four straight games to South Carolina, LSU, Arkansas, and Kentucky. This is a team that's on a bit of a slide right now.
And those are tough games, but that if for Texas A&M, you got to beat South Carolina because Texas A&M, before that game, I thought they had been playing pretty good basketball. They took Kentucky. They played Kentucky very well. I thought they had been playing better basketball, but yeah, a loss against South Carolina, like you said, flew under the radar, but that's a tough loss for the Aggies.
It's time for Final Take.
Final Take.
All right, Jacob, I know you've got something good here. Mine's going to be a little bit more off the radar, so I'll let you go first.
We've been talking all show about Brian Harsin and what's going on with the Auburn football program. And here's the thing. Yes, it looks bad right now, but it's okay. And here's my thing. I've been saying what's the biggest thing I've said about Auburn fans with Brian Harsin. Give him time. You've got to give him time. And here's what I want for Brian Harsin. I want Auburn fans and Auburn University to treat Brian Harsin the same way they treated Bruce Pearl when he showed up. Give the man time. Let him do what he wants to do, what he needs to do to make Auburn successful in the long run. Because when Bruce showed up, people were backing him from day one. And it didn't look pretty for a minute. But here we are, the number one team in the country. I want the same treatment for Brian Harsin as Auburn fans gave Bruce Pearl when he was here day one.
My final take's a little bit off the beaten path here. I'm going to talk a little soccer. The United States took a horrendous loss to Canada yesterday, 2-0. And the United States manager, Greg Berhalter, had the audacity in his post-game press conference to say that we dominated Canada in the loss. In what world did you dominate a team that you lost 2-0? And if that is the mindset, if that's the framework of the United States men's national team right now, that they dominated somebody in a 2-0 loss that they typically don't lose to, Canada, there's only one team where it's somewhat acceptable to lose to, and that's Mexico. And if your take was that you dominated them and you lost 2-0, nothing's changed with the United States men's national team for where it was when they missed the World Cup 4 years ago, and that's a travesty.
Well, you know me, I don't follow soccer huge, but if you lose 2-0 in soccer and you say you dominated, I don't really see where you're coming from.
You didn't dominate.
Right, exactly. That's tough for a coach to say on the losing end of a soccer match, especially for the U.S., where you know they have higher standards than losing to Canada.
And I'm a big soccer guy, and I know there are some folks out there, y'all know Trevor is, you can still dominate in possession and in shots. I'm just never a fan of in a loss saying, we dominated somebody, you lost. You didn't dominate them.
Loss is a loss.
That's right. That's it for another edition of On the Line. We'll be back with you tomorrow. Same time, same place. You know where to find us.